Welcome to the very first episode of the VCS Alumni Podcast. I'm your host, Bob Dresty. I was a 1980 graduate of Victor. This podcast will serve as a where have they been and where are they now update for VCS alumni. Today, I'm joined by a very special person, not only because of her accomplishments during her time at Victor and post-high school, but also because she is one of the most nice and positive and enthusiastic people I know. Her name is Norma Wisen. Norma was a 1974 graduate of Victor, and today we have the opportunity to hear her story. Norma, it's great to have you here. Thanks for accepting the invitation to join me today.
Thanks, Bob.
Let's start at the beginning. Your parents first met, now we're not going that far back, but take me back to when you were young, little, growing up. Where did you grow up in Victor? Tell us a little bit about your family.
We were one of the first families to move into Victorwood in 1963, and I remember having to walk a pretty far way to get to the bus stop way over on Church Street from where we lived.
Right.
So, got the muscles all worked up there, and we'd have basketball pickup games in the backyards with the Maves family.
Oh, yeah.
Figlers and the Adams, and it was great.
I think when I was going to school, it's like, I lived out in Farmington, but so many people lived in Victorwood. That was the first major Victor subdivision, the original.
It
and
was
it's still there.
Yeah, it was, and then we moved out to the Doehaven subdivision over by you just before my senior year of high school.
Yep.
So I really, really lived there only 1 year over in the Doehaven area,
and right.
Yep. Then I went off to see the world, and
I think anybody that went to Victor in those '60s. I'm trying to think of your brother, John, what year he graduated.
1969.
So the Wisens pretty much covered like almost three decades of...
The Kiaskis and the Wisens. We had somebody in every grade just about.
So you were one of, I think it's eight, right?
There's eight of us, yes.
I'm going to try and just go through them in order.
Okay.
I might be wrong, but John, Charlie, Norma. Am I good so far?
Mm-hmm.
Andy, Amy, Mary. Mm-hmm. Patrick and Mark.
Awesome.
I got him. I do it. But so I mean, you went to Victor from
first grade. Yeah,
kindergarten. What was it like then? Did they have the intermediate school then?
Oh gosh, no. The primary school.
Yep.
I would think it was K to five maybe then.
Yeah.
And then the junior high.
Yep.
6 to 8. And then the new high school was completed, I think, in 1968.
So it was 68 all
or 69.
Fresh,
Yeah.
Did you play a lot of sports? I know you played sports growing up, but like when you were like third, fourth grade, were you playing sports at that time? Like just pick up stuff or was
pick up stuff, yeah. In the neighborhood games, like I said, the baseball games, we take up, four backyards or something to have baseball games, and we had a neighbor down the street, one of the Miller families, and in exchange for babysitting, I would pound and pound and pound the basketball up, and they were the only ones on the street with a basketball and a hoop, and I just from junior high on just
shot hoops,
mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Played horse, right,
by myself, yeah.
So when you got into high school, I mean, what grade were you in when they started girls basketball? Because you were on the very first girls basketball team.
I was in eighth grade, 1969 to 70, when we had our first junior high team. It was a junior high team. And we had, five games.
Okay.
Five games that we had, and it was a blast. We played over in the inner. Well, it was the primary school.
Right.
It was the gym at the primary school at the time, and one memorable game, we played against Menden Center. Girls our age group, seventh and eighth graders, whatever. And I say this with humbleness too, that we beat them 109 to 10. And of course, you know, it wasn't such a great victory because we had been practicing as a team,
right.
You know, and we did not want to kill. But
right.
And these other girls, I think they just said, okay, who wants to go over to Victor and play? Raise your hand.
You right.
Know? And
they walked into a full court press. You guys probably pressed them.
Yeah. The Susie Fisher, Diane Guinan, Susie Calkins, and
Yeah.
So that was the first huge game. Now, unbeknownst really to me, because I was, you know, in my own little world, really.
Right.
You know, I just want to play basketball. That's all I want to do is play basketball.
Yep.
Because Coach Ohonin turned me down because he wouldn't let me play Little League baseball.
Okay.
Girls could not play.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Girls could not play at that time. And he says, yeah, I know you're better than half the boys there, but I'm sorry.
So when you got into high school, was it right from ninth grade? There was girls basketball
yes.
in ninth grade?
We had one team.
So it was like a varsity team?
It was the varsity, grades 9 to 12. So entering as a freshman in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 1971 is when we had as a freshman game in high school.
Yep.
For that team.
When you got into high school, you're a freshman now. I mean, how many teams, what were the teams in the girls' league?
Okay, so this would have been 1970-71, the year that Title IX was passed.
Okay.
There were eight teams, and I think it was Finger Lakes East. I can't remember.
Yeah.
There was East and West. There were eight teams, and we played each of them just once.
Only once?
Only once, yeah. And we ended up 2-6
okay.
for that
you know,
season.
It's a start, right?
Yeah. And in the only two that we beat.
Oh, tell me one of them was Canandaigua.
Oh,
please tell me that.
No. It was. We played them twice, and we lost both times. But the biggest rival through my first 2 years was Bloomfield. They had a couple of powerhouse
yep.
players that they were just awesome players.
Right.
Awesome players.
Did you play, like, was it pretty much the same core group of girls all the way through?
Yes.
Was there any new people that joined the team after you were a freshman? Or what, were you all in the same grade pretty much?
No. Well, there was, up until, I think it was 1970, after the 72 season, the girls who were cheerleaders, they had to choose.
Mm-hmm.
They could just do the one, the
right.
really time to do the one sport. So we lost, you know, Violet Kopp and Carolee Bow, Carolee Ohonin,
yeah. yeah.
Bow, and some of the cheerleaders that, so they had to make a choice.
Yep.
But Diane Guinan and I really from my class were, since we were eighth grade all the way through.
Right.
And then we were joined a couple years, Susie Fisher, Sharon
oh, yeah.
Duffy, Susie Calkins,
yep.
Wendy Harrison, and mm-hmm. Phyllis Danks as a freshman when we were seniors.
Okay,
so we were pretty tight, you know, through that whole years.
Who was it the same coach? I mean, tell us about
yeah.
the, who was the coach?
Coach, it was Deb Lehman. She came to the school district when Carol Martin was out having her second baby.
Okay,
she covered
Miss Martin,
Mrs. Martin,
Mrs.
Yeah.
Martin, yeah.
And Deb stayed on to do the coaching. And when Carol came back to teaching, Deb went to teach in the intermediate school, but remained on as almost all the girls' sports coaches.
Yep.
So she mentored us all the way through basketball. Anyway, I played 2 years of softball as well.
Okay, I was
going to
ask what other sports did you play? Yeah,
2 or 3 years of softball, but basketball was
yep.
was my love, and you know that's all I wanted to do is play basketball, and I wanted to play with the boys, but of course I couldn't. So.
Yep, I can remember when I was in school, there was a girl, Kathy Ryan. I don't
yes.
know
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm going to tell you straight up, that girl could have started on the boys. Varsity basketball
mm-hmm.
team,
mm-hmm.
unbelievable ball handler, went
mm-hmm.
Division I,
mm-hmm.
Good person too. She might be another one we have on here, but
I'm so glad for somebody like Kathy Ryan because I think she was the first that was offered a sports scholarship.
Very likely,
and
yeah.
you know I feel kind of like a pioneer.
You are
for
a
that.
You,
you know
are,
that I didn't have that opportunity, and I always wondered, even though. I went to Potsdam
mm-hmm.
State, and I did make the basketball team my freshman year.
Okay.
And I started.
Yeah.
As a freshman.
What was the reaction of the rest of the school? in terms of, you know, there's going to be a girls basketball team? Was it like well received? I mean, or did you guys get like, where did you practice? Did you have,
it was,
yeah.
We practiced and played in the intermediate gym.
Okay.
And, you know, the sidelines were about 3 feet yeah. all the way around.
Right.
And
a band box.
Our uniforms, pretty hilarious. The first 2 years, my freshman and sophomore year, I mean, were our gym suits. And all you girls will remember our gym suits. And we had pennies, those numbered pennies over them. That was our uniform.
Wow.
And I think we were a junior, my junior years when we got real uniforms, which consisted of blue shorts and a white T-shirt with gold numbers on it.
Oh, wow. Well, big upgrade.
Yeah, big upgrade,
from
yeah.
From pennies, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and... I mean, do you stay in touch with any of these of the players?
Do. I mean, I do. You know, and not with Facebook, it's a whole lot easier. So yeah, the friendship and camaraderie is totally still there.
That's awesome.
Totally still there.
That's awesome. Just talk a little bit. So you graduated from Victor, mm-hmm. and then you went to
Potsdam.
What degree were you pursuing there?
Math. I earned a math degree at Potsdam. Like I said, I played just basketball just the first year, and then, you know, life gets in the way, and had to work to get myself through college. And then after college, I joined the Air Force, went to officer training school, and
what prompted you to join the Air Force? Full disclosure here, I know a little bit more about Norma and her family than probably the average person, and I know that your father was an unbelievable
Marine.
Yeah. How many years? I mean, I can remember this, Norma. I think we were like in eighth, ninth grade or something, and back then everybody got the Democrat and Chronicle paper in the morning, and I went out to my mailbox, and I got it, and there was a picture of your father on the front page, and he was receiving, I don't know what the medal was, but it was... It was a medal of distinction from his service.
They did a big story on him that we really appreciated. It was a medal that he earned from his service in Korea as a Marine. So strong like bull. You
know. Yep.
And my mother would say, smell like one too.
Oh, so what prompted you to go into the Air Force?
I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with a math degree because I wasn't ready to teach at that point, and I did not get my teaching certificate during undergraduate, so I didn't really know what I wanted to do, and I don't want to make it sound like, oh well, I guess there's nothing else to do, because that wasn't the case. I felt like I was called to it.
Yep.
And
your brother Charlie too.
Brother Charlie served in the Air Force as well.
Before you, right? Yeah.
He went in 1975, so just a couple years before me. And he did 4 years active duty as well.
Yeah.
And I did 4 years active duty. And then he spent his next 20 years full time with the Air National Guard in Schenectady.
Yep.
My first assignment after officer training school was back to college, to Texas A&M University.
Oh, really?
Where I earned all my credits toward meteorology. And that was my first job in the Air Force, was as a weather officer.
Okay. Where were you
I was
at?
First stationed at Barksdale Air Force Base in Bossier City, Louisiana, where my son Mike was born. After Texas A&M University, just took, you know, 3 semesters full of meteorology courses. My first assignment there was at Barksdale as the weather officer, base weather officer.
Yep.
So I would prepare weather forecasts and briefings for B-52 and KC-135 training missions, and prepare for if we ever had to go to war. It's a big base. It still is a huge
Barksdale,
base. Barksdale is home of 8th Air Force, if that means anything to anybody in the Air Force, it would. but one of the scariest things, especially in a and you've seen tornadoes, you know, go through the south, is being the base weather forecaster and looking at storms coming in from the west and wondering whether they're going to be severe enough that you have to tell the commander to either evacuate.
Right.
There's a lot of money on that on that runway.
So millions of dollars. If you saw something coming, you would be like, I think this is the big one.
I had to make that decision. Get all this stuff out of here. So, you know, you could be seriously wrong either way.
Right.
Either tell the commander, yeah, get him out.
Right.
And then
nothing happens.
It costs a lot of money to do that.
Right.
But then, yeah, no, you'll be okay. And something does happen. That costs a lot more money.
I think if you tell them, get them out all the time.
But thankfully, I never was in that position that I had to worry about that. Not on my shift or not on my watch.
Right.
It did not happen.
What type of, so when you're doing this, what type of equipment are you using to forecast the weather? I mean, like right now, everybody just goes on to Google. I mean, you take for granted how easy it is to find out what the weather's going to be.
We were still drawing maps.
Yeah.
Hand draw maps and
looking at forecast. Pressure systems.
And you know, we would get computer generated models, you know, 12, 18 hours down the road. But, you know, nothing as accurate, of course, as we get now. And weather forecasting is still a job that you can be wrong and people are still happy or, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. So true. So how many years were you doing that particular?
I was there for 2 years, and then my last year of active duty, I went to Chanute Air Force Base, about a couple hours south of Chicago, and I taught in weather courses.
Okay, so you actually became an instructor.
An instructor, yeah.
This is what you're looking for, right?
Yeah. And that's what led me into teaching, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed adult education. Because people were there who wanted to learn.
Yeah.
So after I left active duty and came back to Victor Farmington area,
mm-hmm.
I immediately joined the Air National Guard in Niagara Falls as intelligence officer. And I was there for 20 years and retired.
20 years?
Yeah.
What were the duties there? I mean, what were you doing?
Well, when I first joined there, we had fighters, and our job was air defense of the United States, right mm-hmm. there at Niagara Falls, in case the Russians came over the polar cap or the Canadians decided to storm the border or something.
Canadians.
Yeah, those Canadians. So, you know, I was a traditional guardsman, which meant that I would do, you know, 1 week in a month, and then 2 weeks training sometime during the year.
Yep.
And since our job was right there at Niagara Falls, we never went anywhere.
Right.
Because our job was there. And then in the early 90s, we transitioned to KC-135 tankers, which had a global air refueling mission. You know,
they would launch out of Niagara Falls, and they could go anywhere to refuel.
Go anywhere and pass gas for cash. and that's pretty interesting, you know, being up at, 25,000 feet and traveling along at 350 miles an hour.
Right.
And
could you fill me up?
Fill me up.
Top it off.
So once we did that we became a worldwide mission, and then we started traveling and deploying. So I, you know, I've been to Europe 3 or 4 times, to Turkey, to Oman, country of Oman, as we did air refueling duties for Operation Enduring Freedom and Iraqi thing. And
your rank is in terms of, I mean, did...
I retired as a lieutenant colonel.
Wow. That's awesome. So, and then what year did you get out of the Air National Guard? Or what year?
I retired in 2003.
Okay.
October 2003.
And then where'd you go from there?
Well, I was, you know, doing my civilian job, you know, all along. And I retired from my civilian job 4 years ago now.
Congratulations. Talk about your civilian job. What was that? I mean, what?
Well, I stayed mostly in the teaching world. Taught a couple of years at Victor. And
you did?
I did.
I'm learning something here that I didn't know about you.
I taught a couple years at Victor. when my daughter Heidi was born, I almost had her in Mrs. Hanselman's office. And then after came back from Christmas vacation. And I had to be in bed for the next 7 weeks or so, and and just stayed home with the kids for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Then I worked at BOCES for the Educational Technology Center at BOCES, and mm-hmm. I worked for the library system, did installations and training of as we automated all the libraries. School libraries in Wayne Finger Lakes, BOCES.
Computerize them, put them out all.
Put all those little barcodes on the books and install the program that would, check out, check in.
Sure.
And send out the overdue notices and inventory. And
I think still got a few Victor overdue books kicking around here.
Yeah, there's a big fine on that.
I can remember going up in the library and pulling out the, you had to know the Dewey Decimal System and all that stuff. But now it's just Google, find it, go get it, check it out.
I retired from a company, Williamson Law Book Company.
Okay.
And, I worked there for about 14 years, and that was more adult education. Our customers were municipalities in New York, and I, developed and, installed and trained on a payroll program. The towns and municipalities do their own payroll.
Sure.
But they use our software.
Yep. To do it.
To do it. Print the checks out. And
so you actually wrote code? I mean,
no, I didn't. I had a programmer.
Yeah.
I would tell my programmer, I need the program to do this, this, and this, and that.
Yep.
And he'd give me back, and it did this, 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 and that. And I said, oh, that's not what I meant. So,
I was in software my entire life. I know how this goes. You're not telling me anything new. Now I'll tell you what I really need. Now that you've given me something to look at, I can tell you how to make it. No, that's awesome. Talking about girls basketball, did you guys, obviously you had a regular season, and you said the one year you only played like eight teams. Was it always just like eight teams, or did it expand as you went through high school?
Yeah, it expanded. That first year when I was a freshman, we just played everybody once. I think it was about eight teams. And then the next year we played, I think, everybody twice. Woo. And then when I was a junior was our first year with sectionals. Now, the boys have been playing sectionals, class A through D, whatever, for how long. And that first year for sectionals for the girls was, okay, you play you and you play you and you play you. Then there was no classification at all.
Right. It was just everybody you could come up against.
Yes.
Bigger school.
And that's exactly what we did. When I was a junior, we were 8-2, just two losses going in the sectionals.
Yep.
And we beat Canandaigua 42-41
in a
thriller of a game. I still remember that. And then our next in the semifinals, we played Pittsford Mendon. Huge school.
Big school.
Huge school compared to Victor. And they wiped the floor with us. But they had a couple of really great players, Cindy Martin and Kathy Morse. Now, Kathy Morse went on to be a member of LPGA.
Right, yeah.
She was
I
a
remember.
Professional golfer for many years. And we played in the U of R Palestra, and I think that was one of the first games that my mother came to, and I always blamed it on her.
that was your junior year,
That
right?
was my junior year, yeah.
And so your senior year.
We're chomping at the bit.
How many regular season games? Did it keep expanding every year?
It did. We played 14 games senior year.
Yeah.
We went 14-0, never lost a game.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And sectionals, finally we had classes, A, B, C, D. We were class B. And
Who was, what were the other?
First game was against Campbell. If I didn't have these written down, I would still remember them.
This is just coming off the top of her head, everybody. She's got it right here. She remembers it like it was yesterday.
I do. Campbell, Pembroke, and Oakfield, Alabama to get us into the finals. So now we're 17-0. Playing at Fairport High School.
Another massive school compared to Victor at the time.
And the court is big, too. I mean, we played on the intermediate court.
Right.
So we're used to...
Are you playing at U of R now, or are you playing at Fairport?
We're playing at Fairport
in the new. Like after the baskets, the floor keeps going for another half a court.
Yeah, 3 miles or something.
Yeah.
And we played Alexander Central at Fairport, and it was just one of those games that, nothing went right.
Yep.
We'd put bricks up there, and they'd go around the rim and fall out. And,
and
I got to mention Bill Boyle.
Okay.
Bill Boyle was the sports reporter from the Daily Messenger.
I totally remember that guy.
And he was always so encouraging, and I can't say enough about that man. He was great for us.
Yeah.
Wrote good, great stories.
He had really good articles. I mean, he was still around when I was in school. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that there's that much difference, but he was an excellent sports writer. Really took a passion to the...
He did.
Especially the Finger Lakes teams. Mm-hmm.
And he encouraged us. And he encouraged us to come along. But as fate would have it, it just wasn't in the cards. But... of course, that was then the first year also when we had the classes that we had all-star teams.
Okay.
And Sharon Duffy and I were named to the first Class B,
yep.
Section 5 all-star team.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome, Norma. That's awesome. I mean, just coming from like eighth grade when you guys just kind of threw a team together, played a couple teams, all the way to, I'm going to call it an undefeated season because the only loss was – the final game. So that's awesome. Who were some of like the in the boys teams, who were some of the players that were like on the, when you were a senior, who was on that side? On the,
some of the players from the varsity boys team when I was a senior, well, like Mike Mandrino and Jeff Sawyer and Mark Dibble, Jeff Alchin.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know that.
Rod DeWitt, Mark Dibble, and then the year behind us, oh, Clark Lutz too. And Mike Bowerman and Jeff Tyler, JT.
Oh.
JT.
Unbelievable athlete. God rest his soul. Unbelievable athlete.
Great guy. Yeah.
Just inducted in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. He legit.
Yeah. But those same boys in my senior year took the championship for football.
Right.
That fall.
I do remember the Tyler years. I think there were some Zimmermans in there,
yes,
too.
Yeah.
yeah, that was an awesome time for Victor football.
But if I could kind of digress, we talked about girls' sports, you know, through the years, and somebody mentioned it, and the yearbook from 1971, I mean, that's all we had was just girls' sports. That was it. That was it with a few candid pictures of us.
I'm looking at, she just handed me one page that's three pictures.
Yeah.
And really not even big pictures.
In our gym suits.
Yeah.
During gym class. That was girls' sports.
Yeah, it's I looked at like girls' sports now at Victor.
Yeah,
and it's lacrosse. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of you know, opportunities for girls. I mean, and I think I'm not going to say they take it for granted, but I wouldn't blame them if they did.
Yeah.
Because it's just the way it is now. And it's like, you know, back when you were there, it wasn't that.
For girls sports, that was there, our, the basketball team in our gym uniforms.
Yep.
Our gym suits, we called them. And probably the next year we had a couple of pictures for girls baseball.
Right.
That's how it said it in the yearbook.
It didn't say softball.
It didn't say it was baseball. It was baseball.
Yeah.
And the progression, it's very pleasing and satisfying to see. Up the time we talked about Kathy Ryan when finally made the splash.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure there's rafts of other after her that from Victor. Victor's obviously, we know, it's a powerhouse now. Mm-hmm. Every sport pretty much. Mm-hmm. Victor is the one to beat. Remember when I was in school, it was, you know, we were just like Finger Lakes East.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, at Canandaigua, Waterloo, Geneva, you know. But now Victor's in a lot bigger league and, you know, a lot more opportunity for a lot of different sports.
I'll tell you, who else, absolutely the backbone of the girls' sports, girls' program was Carol Martin and Deb Lehman.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, such encouragement and guidance and fortitude to fight for Title IX, because, you know, even though that was passed, there were some people who think that you're not getting it anyway.
So what? Right.
Yeah.
It's passed.
So
we're
what?
Not doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So to get those white T-shirts with gold numbers and blue shorts for basketball,
we have arrived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So who are some of the other, like, you know, looking back through your whole career, Victor, who are like some of the people that, you know, were influential to you or looked up to, maybe teachers too? Or
to me personally, besides Deb Lehman and Carol Martin, Sandy Shanley, my Spanish teacher.
Yeah.
Always encouraging to me, and I still keep in touch with her today.
Yeah.
Larry McNally and George Miller.
Some of the ones I would pick myself. Yeah.
As a math teacher,
right.
Myself, you know, I really looked up to them and their
I think
tutelage.
We were like really fortunate. You know, at least mm-hmm. I was, and some of the same teachers were there. You mentioned already mentioned some of them of just the caliber of teacher that Victor had at mm-hmm. that time was second to none, and still is, I think. So one of the coaches I remember, I think when I was in school was. Marla McBride. I mean, she was definitely one of the girls'
right.
basketball coaches.
Right. I think Deb Lehman, when her babies were born, she stayed home for many years until her girls were grown in school and then came back to teaching in Honeyoy.
Yep.
So I think that's when Marla picked up the coaching
right.
flag.
Yep.
I've always had a lot of respect for Marla too.
Yeah.
How she would fight and. I was with her on her first day of teaching when I was in eighth grade.
Wow.
And she remembers me.
Yeah, yeah.
Stomping up the bleachers that first day of school. And I visited her on her last day of teaching
she
retired.
Oh, wow, that's great.
I just had, when I was working at BOCES, I just happened to be in the Victor School District on that day.
And looked her up.
And I looked her up and...
Remember me?
Yeah. Oh, she does.
Norma, the bookend. You know, looking back at like, you know, or looking today at girls' sports, you know, that one, you know, instrumental thing in all of it was Title IX, the passage of Title IX. And even though it wasn't really like immediately adopted everywhere, it was here to stay. And just talk a little bit, Norma, about, you know, what Title IX meant, what it means, and, you know,
At the time when Title IX was passed, you know, I was of the mindset I just wanted to play. I didn't know much about it. Didn't mean much to me. I didn't think that then because we were going to have a team and we were going to play and we're going to play. So, and then we got uniforms. But now looking back, one of my very best lifelong friends from Victor, Linda Conklin.
Yeah.
Linda Conklin Wood. We lost her 3 years ago. Tragically. She was ill.
Mm-hmm.
And, but she wrote a letter to the editor in response to an article that Ron Wilson,
another Victor.
Victor graduate, had written about Title IX. And I think it was the 25th anniversary at that time. He wrote an article about that, and she wrote a letter to the editor complimenting him on his recollection of Title IX, summing it all up. And what she wrote in that article really just epitomizes all of Title IX and what it meant to us then and what it means to us now and what it means to these girls today.
Today, right.
And, you know, she says, you know, it's more than, you know, throwing the ball around and scoring some baskets. It's mm-hmm. it's more than that. It's she says, you know, for today's girls that they don't lose the life lessons that they're learning, being mentored you don't have to win every game, but you learn from your mistakes and grow. You know, not everybody got playing time, but
that's life.
That's
I mean,
life.
You deal with it.
Yeah.
Exactly. You go back, you work on what you're deficient in. And
you know, like she said, you have a team competitive spirit, but you celebrate victory, learn from defeat, and never give up.
Yeah.
And that is my friend Linda.
Yeah. That kind of defines you too, Norma. You know, definitely.
We were very great friends. You know, from our old days of playing basketball in junior high and through high school and softball. Then I played softball for many years with her on mm-hmm. you know, adult women's league.
Right.
And we bowled together for many, many years.
Yep.
And then golfed together
right.
for many years. So
what do you do What are you doing now to keep yourself busy? You did say that you're retired. Yeah. So first thing you got to do is find something to keep yourself busy. But I don't think you're going to have a problem doing that. Yeah. So first of all, where do you live right now?
We live in Canandaigua, down the east side of the lake.
Okay.
Towards Crystal Beach, around in that area. And I've lived down there for, 30 years around in that area. My kids all yep. went to Marcus Whitman and graduated from Whitman.
Wildcats.
Yeah. And, you know, I mentioned my Air Force service.
Yep.
And I'm very involved now with the American Legion and another veterans group called Military Officers Association of America.
Okay.
I do a lot of things for both those veteran service organizations.
That's great. Yeah.
So I do keep busy doing that, but truthfully, sometimes it interferes with my golf game.
I know you play a lot of golf.
Yeah.
In any given week, like in the summer, how many times are you playing golf? Is it every day?
No, probably 3-4 times a week, probably. I'm on two leagues,
yep.
two evening leagues, and my husband and I play at least 2 or 3 times together during the week. We're members down at Reservoir Creek.
Oh, yeah, Naples.
And just love it down there.
Yep.
So, yeah, and we travel a lot, too. When we can't play golf in December and January up here in New York, we go to Myrtle Beach or Florida
somewhere warm.
Somewhere warm, yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things, you know, and I'm going to bring this up, is people might not know this, but Norma had a son, Mike, or who we used to call Mikey, who died suddenly in 2013. Was a shock to everybody. No warning, no nothing, just, you know, one night didn't wake up, man.
Well, yeah.
And so, you know, Norma has taken the lead, and she hosts an unbelievable golf tournament every summer. I believe it's in June, is it?
June.
In June, and it's at...
It's going to be at Reservoir Creek.
This year's at Reservoir Creek, okay.
We're moving it there because we're members there now. And this year it's June 12th, Sunday, June 12th for the afternoon. My son had two children at the time. They were four and just had turned 4 and 5 years old.
Yep.
He had a massive sudden heart attack, 90% mm-hmm. blockage. Nobody saw it coming. All the signs were there, but who looks for them in a 32-year-old
right,
young
he
man?
Was young. I mean, you don't even think of it.
No, you know. So listen to your body,
right.
First of all. Second of all, the first year, his buddies from high school put together this golf tournament as a way to remember him and raise some money for the kids. And it's been a great tournament, and we share a lot of laughs. And if you know Bob Dresty and my brother Andy, you know what jokers they are. And Mike was just like that.
Right. I can vouch for this tournament. I think I played in the last 2 years, and it had been in Geneva then, but this year it's going to Reservoir Creek. I will say to anybody out there, if you're Victor people, you should play in this golf tournament. The first year I pulled into the parking lot, I was putting my golf shoes on. I see Dave Ahonen's there, John Toomey's there. I'm like, this is like a Victor reunion. This is going to be awesome. And it really is an awesome tournament for a great cause.
It is.
And it's just a lot of fun.
And yes, it is a money raiser to help Mike's kids do things. His daughter is very involved in core athletics. It's that gymnastics,
yeah.
cheer dancing thing. And they travel all over the place. Just went to Ohio and Orlando.
Right.
And Parker, her son Parker, he's 13. He's a natural athlete.
Mm-hmm.
You put anything in his hand, and a golf club, a basketball, a bat.
Right.
He knows what to do with it.
Yep.
And so, you know, to keep him in uniform and whatever he what he needs. But just to kind of help them out financially. That is part of it. But my main goal is to have people come and remember my son and laugh.
Yep. Yep, and know that
he's still with us.
And we remember him, and we support him, and support the whole family. If somebody wants to play in this golf tournament, is there somewhere online that they can?
Yeah. If you check out Facebook, check me out on Facebook. Or
Norma Wiesend, Wiesend. There's a whole song that goes
song
with that.
About that, yeah. So, yeah, I did keep – I have my maiden name still, but there's a Mike Wiesend golf tournament Facebook page, too.
Okay. Mike Wison.
Yeah.
Golf tournament, Facebook. Yeah. I expect everybody listening to this to come out and play. So, you're living in Canandaigua now. Tell us about your family or your husband. And
okay. My husband, Guy, and I have been married for about 4 years now. Played a lot of golf, like a lot of things. It's been great. Crystal and the kids live just 5 miles down the road.
Yep.
My daughter, Heidi, lives towards Geneva, and she has 3 boys. And my youngest daughter, Mary, currently lives with us now with her 11-year-old boy. So,
okay.
7 grandchildren later, and Title IX, and it's wow. on a big roll.
Wow. So that about wraps it up in our conversation with Norma Wison. Definitely one of the big pioneers of women's sports at Victor. Norma, I just want to thank you for coming. You are a good person, and I enjoy hearing your story. I love hearing how girls basketball came to be. And just know that you are a huge influence on, you know, the kids that are at Victor now. And just the way the girls' sports are. I mean, you were the original. So thank you for coming,
Thank
Norma.
You, Bob. My pleasure.